Please be seated. About 500 years ago, John Calvin, somewhat famously, if you study Reformation history, somewhat famously, made the comment that there were enough pieces of the one true cross in Europe to build a ship. Cross after cross after cross piece, lying across Europe in reliquaries. Now, science can tell us that he was probably exaggerating to a point in the larger scheme of what he was saying. But to understand why he got there, we have to go a little bit further back in history first. Many of you will at least recognize when I say that Christianity was not a popular religion when it was originally founded. It was, in fact, rather rapidly illegal to be Christian. Until Constantine. The Constantinian Compromise, where Christianity and the empire began to be a little bit entangled. But before all of that got messy, Constantine had a vision and Christianity became a legal religion. You could publicly be a Christian and not be put to death for it, which was probably a good thing. And that's when Constantine's mother did something that set a tone for Europe for centuries. She rediscovered pilgrimage. And after Christianity was made legal, she went back to the Holy Land, where, legend has it, she was led to a place that had three wooden crosses in the back. And through some testing and through proof of a miracle, they discovered which one was, in fact, the one true cross. And Helena brought back a piece of that cross, thus inaugurating centuries of not only pilgrimage, but of collecting of the holy things of the faith. Relics, which were then collected into reliquaries in large places. And a few hundred years later, leading to John Calvin's observation that there were too many pieces of this lying around. The heart of Calvin's observation is not the science of how much wood out there was attributed to the one true cross, but to the level of importance that was placed on having this holy thing in your church, this understanding that that made your church and therefore you a better person for having it. Now, if you've ever paid attention to what goes on inside of a church in terms of furnishings, this can begin to feel a bit pointed. We have a few holy things that we hold on to, a memorial and to remind us of the faith that those who have gone before us share. All of which is something that my mind has been tumbling over this week, because today is the day when we remember the devotion and the exaltation of the cross. It's a funny thing to exalt in when you stop to think about it. The cross was not a pleasant thing. It was an instrument of torture and torturous death. It was used to end lives, including the life of Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. And today we pause and we remember it. And the question that sits before us is sort of, why? Why do we stop and remember all of this history, all of this complication, all of these layers to what has become a rather central part of our faith? And that's a question we should perhaps carry with us a bit. On Thursday in our Romans Bible study, we sort of have wound our way over to some consideration of the cross and the crucifixion and what was going on. And I will share with you the comment I made then, that the cross is a window into God. In that moment, that death, we have this chance to see something of the divine nature unlike what we have ever seen before. The question is, of course, then what are we seeing? Are we seeing merely the instrument of torture and death and the horrors of the world? Can we open our eyes and our heart to see the love of a God who would become like us even to the point of death? What is it that window opens for us? Of course, if this is a window, if it's a way to see God in a new light, it's useful not to get too hung up on the frame or how much wood the frame took. It's useful remember that all of this is a sign meant to point us ultimately to Jesus, God's Son, who came to earth, lived, died, and rose again, because we are God's beloved. Amen.